Who is God? That's a trailer from a National Geographic TV show that's coming out, hosted by the best actor to play God, Morgan Freeman, from the movie, of course, Bruce Almighty. It's an interesting question. Who is God? A whole bunch of people answer it in different ways. God is love. God is light. God is the universe. God is whatever you want he, she, or it to be. What would you say that God is like? In one word, how would you answer the question, who is God? It's not a rhetorical question. Throw some words at me. Creator, love, Father, Savior, Jesus. Sorry? All being? All knowing? Yep. Sorry?
First?
Involved? I like all these. These are good. All knowing, powerful. All of these are good and true. Is there one that is more important than the others? Is there one thing that is most important about God? I think there is. I'm not going to leave you hanging. I actually think there's one that all of those actually fits under. And I think that it is that God is Father. So it is that God is Father, and all of those other things, they fit under God being Father. And not only is God like a father to us, but he is our heavenly dad. Now, we've just finished going through a series looking at the book of Job, and God is usually thought of as a judge or a justifier. Job calls out to him to forgive him. God is a sustainer. But God is not often thought of as a judge, as a father. Some people really struggle thinking about God as a father because of their own relationship with their dad. For them, it might be easier to relate to God as something else. What we're going to do today is, just in between our series on Job and next week we start our new series on 1 Corinthians, we're just going to consider what it means that God is Father. And what we miss out on when we forget it. In the Old Testament, God, he is referred to as Father, but it's not a specific father, it's a general father. He's the father of Israel. He wasn't a personal dad to each of the people, but he had to be mediated by someone like Moses or the priests. People would speak of the fatherhood of God among the Jewish people. But no one addressed him directly as Father. One author even suggests that you don't find Jewish people calling him as a personal father until the 12th century AD, which, you know, it's only 800 years ago. It's fairly recent. And yet the New Testament is striking. A Jewish rabbi comes on the scene who addresses God as Father in all but one of his prayers. Jesus is radically different to the time, continually talking about God as his personal father. Over 150 times in the Gospels. Let me read a couple from John 14. Jesus says, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." John 17, Jesus prays, "Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." And how does Jesus teach us to pray? What's the first two words of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. It's not God. It's not distant Father. It is a personal. Our Father. God is a personal dad. Paul continues to show that Jesus is God as a father. From the reading that was just read for us from Galatians. Galatians 4, verse 4. "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as sons, that we might receive adoption as sons." Now, there's much to be said from this passage about redemption and being freed from the law. But what I want to focus on is that language of family. But when the time had come, God sent his son that we might receive adoption as sons. The language of family is really important here. God doesn't just send Jesus as the second person of the Trinity. He sends his son. The Father is sending his son. And it's the son that brings children into the family through adoption as sons. Now, this might sound a little bit sexist. It can be tempting to remove all usages of sons and replace it with sons and daughters. But it's not merely that God has sent Jesus so that we would be his children. He sent Jesus so that we'd be adopted as sons. Now, on this point, it's important to be culturally correct and not politically correct. The Galatians that Paul was writing to were subject to the Roman law. Adoption as a son in Roman law is something very specific. It meant you had the right to a name and to citizenship of the person who was adopting you, and you had the right to inherit his property. But these rights were not given to daughters. And through Jesus, God offers to adopt us as sons with his name, being a Christian, and a citizenship in heaven, and a right to inherit the gift of eternal life. So Paul can continue to say, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. So we can now cry out to God as Father, because we have been adopted as sons, as his heirs. Jesus came not just to reveal who God is, but he came to reveal that God is our Father. And the picture that the New Testament, the Gospels and the letters reveal is that Jesus reveals God as Father. It is the single most important way to think about God. So who is God? He is the Father who adopts children into his family, giving them everything that they have not earned or deserved. I read a story recently of a woman who was adopted. Let me read it for you. When I was a tiny little girl, my parents died, and I was put in an orphanage. I was not pretty at all, and no one seemed to want me. But I longed to be adopted and loved by a family as far back as I can remember. I thought about it day and night, but everything I did seemed to go wrong. I must have tried too hard to please the people who came to look me over, and what I did was to drive them away. But then one day, the head of the orphanage told me that a family was coming to take me home with them. I was so excited that I jumped up and down and cried like a little baby. The matron reminded me that I was on trial, and this might not be a permanent arrangement, but I just knew that somehow it would work out. So I went with this family and started school. I was the happiest little girl you can imagine, and life began to open up for me just a little. But then one day, a few months later, I skipped home from school and ran into the front door of the big old house we lived in. No one was at home, but in the middle of the front hall was my battered suitcase with my little coat thrown across it. As I stood there, it suddenly dawned on me what it meant. I didn't belong there anymore. This happened to me 7 times before I was 13. But wait, don't feel too badly. It was experiences like these that ultimately brought me to God. And there I found what I had always longed for, a place, a sense of belonging, a forever family. That story is really heartbreaking. That's actually, you know, the 3rd time I've read that today. And it still breaks my heart just reading it now. But Jesus came so that we could all call God our Father, so that we could be adopted into his family. God is the adoptive Father who comes down the line and has seen us with no reason to love or choose us, but he chooses to adopt us, to bring us into his family, to be called Father, for us to be called his children. God is not just all-powerful, all-sovereign, all-lovely, creator, all of those things we said before. But the most important thing that God is, he is Father. God is a father who loves to adopt kids. He wants us in his family. He wants to know us like the father of the prodigal son who is eagerly awaiting his son's return and runs to him when he sees him. I don't know what your family is like. I don't know what your parents or your kids are like. I don't know whether you are lonely or lost, but I do know that God calls us into his family with all the rights of a son able to cry out to him as our father, my father. But our dads can impact the way we view God. Let me read what another author said about this very issue. I was 25 years old before I could say the word father while praying. The word was foreign to me. It didn't roll off my tongue the way it did for many Christian friends. It felt like a word from a foreign language. In one regard, it meant nothing. It was gibberish. But in another, it meant a world of things. Amid the cultural barriers, it still struck a nerve because while it meant nothing, it meant everything. It meant broken things, scary things, hurtful things. How was I supposed to use a word that, for me, brought to mind everything a parent shouldn't be when I was in conversation with a God whom I'd been told was everything my dad wasn't? How was I supposed to call God by a name I hadn't used for most of my life, a name that didn't mean to me what I knew Scripture insisted God is? For me to call God a father was like calling an apple an orange. They didn't mix. Sure, I knew God was a father, but how was I sure he wasn't like my father? If God is first to us a father, what kind of father is he? Let me continue to read from John, this time from his first letter. Let me read. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. And Jesus says in John 16, the Father himself loves you. God has become our Father when he saves us. And all who confess that Jesus is God's Son are adopted as his children. Not only that, but John says, and Jesus says, that God loves you. God loves you. It's one thing to say that I can understand that God has saved me, that my sins have been forgiven, that on the cross where Jesus died, he took the penalty for me, and so I don't have to pay that penalty anymore. I can understand that in a judicial sense. I can understand that I'm forgiven. But God loves me. The key to the gospel is that God is a father who loves you and invites you to be his child. Do you believe that God the Father loves you? Maybe it's really hard for you to believe that God could love you. Does your internal conversation going along the lines of, I'm a sinner, I'm not lovely, there is no reason that God could or should love me? I might be able to believe that Jesus died for me, my sins have been paid for, but love from God, the Creator? Sin makes me unlovely and undesirable. There is nothing in me, a sinner, that God could love. Yet it is the sinner that God loves. It's the fatherless, the destitute, the lonely, the impoverished, the drunk, the fornicator. God loves us, not because we are better than others, because he is infinitely good and chooses to love us. John Owen, a Puritan pastor who lived in the 1600s, he's one of my favorite dead guys. He had a quote, let me read it for you. The greatest sorrow and burden you can lay on the Father, the greatest unkindness you can do to him is not to believe that he loves you. The greatest sorrow and burden you can lay on the Father, the greatest unkindness you can do to him is not to believe that he loves you. God says he loves you. And you need to receive that love. Accept that God loves you. The greatest wrong you can do is to not believe that God loves you. We need to accept and receive God's love. Who spent some time in the sun today? Did anybody spend any time in the sun today? Yeah, it's starting to feel like summer. I'm excited. Next week it's supposed to be about 30 degrees. I'm heading up to the Gold Coast for a week, in a couple of weeks' time, for a bit of a holiday. And I'm going to be doing a bunch of lying down on the sand while my children pour sand on me. And when I'm lying on that beach, how does the sun come down to me? Not the whole thing, thankfully. The light of the sun comes down by its beams to touch me, to warm me, hopefully not to give me skin cancer. John Owen, the Puritan pastor, said that Jesus Christ is the beam of the Father's love. I know it sounds a bit corny, but go with me. Jesus Christ is the beam of his Father's love. That's how we receive the Father's love, through the Son. It is through Jesus that God reaches down and touches us and warms our hearts with his love, making us his children. Not the temporary warmth of the sun in the sky, but the eternal love of an everlasting Father. Maybe you don't actually dwell on what it means that God loves you. God loves you as a father. When I became a parent, my relationships with my parents changed. No longer was I just their son. I was very used to going into their house and just raiding their cupboard, eating their lollies, being childlike. Do you have children like that? Yes? Okay, good. But when I had kids, no longer was I their son. I was the father of their grandchildren. Now it's my kids that go into their cupboards and raid their lollies. And as a dad and a husband, it's easy to forget when others depend on me. It's easy to forget that I too am a child. I'm a child not only with parents, but I'm a child with a heavenly dad that I can and I should lean on and depend on. How much more then do I need to depend on God? God doesn't get angry and shout like a frustrated parent, but he continues to love and guide like only our Heavenly Father can. How would our lives be different if we dwelt on our Heavenly Father's love for us? What would our lives look like if we really believed that God is a Father who loves us? As long as we think that God is harsh or judgmental or condemning, our souls are filled with fear and dread every time it comes to him. You know, just like Adam and Eve in the garden after they sin, they flee from God. But when we see that God is our Father, who is filled with love for us, we can draw near to him to bring our burdens to a Father who loves us. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you that we can call you our Father, that you have adopted us as your children. Help us to not think that you are distant or judgmental or harsh. Help us to know that you are close, that you listen to us when we cry out to you. Help us not to run from you, but to come to you and dwell on your love for us. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.